All right.
Not part of that box, but maybe according to your iPhone. Oh, well, then your digital's got to be right.
Yeah.
Well, good evening. We're going to go ahead and call to order the regular meeting of the Orland Planning Commission for this Thursday, January 19th. Before I do, I want to introduce to everyone present tonight our newly sworn commissioner, Vern Montague. Welcome back, Vern.
Thank you.
Having served previously on our city council some years ago. Glad to have you back up here with us. So with that, we're going to move to the second item, which of course is the Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able to please stand with me, and Vern, if you wouldn't mind, would you lead us in the pledge?
Okay, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. Jennifer, can we do the roll call?
Commissioner Lazorco?
Here.
Commissioner Romano?
Here.
Commissioner Montag?
Present.
Vice Chair Norby?
Here.
Chairperson Elliott?
Here. Brings us up to item number 4. The heading is citizen comments on their oral and written communications. Typically, staff will let us know if we've received any written communications. Staff, do we have any? Hearing none, then we open up the meeting at this point. If there is something you wish to speak to from the public on any item that's not going to be covered on the agenda already, we invite you to do so. Seeing no one, we're going to go ahead and move to item 5. Item 5, which is done each year, I'm going to turn it over to staff to handle this part of it. This is sort of the transition that goes on every year in terms of the seats that have to be filled.
Absolutely. Well, good evening. Welcome to 2023, and thank you all for being here tonight. This is the one time a year where I actually get to be leading the meeting a little bit. And this is the time when I will call for a nomination for a new chairperson. Once the nominations are in, we close that, we take an action. I will hand the meeting back to the chairperson, whoever that is tonight, for the election of the vice chair. Once that is selected, we'll adjust our seats and we'll carry on like normal. So with that, I would say, are there any nominations for the chairperson of the Planning Commission for 2023?
Privileged to have served, but I would be happy to nominate, if he's willing to serve, Stephen Norby as the next commission chair.
All right, Mr. Norby, would you accept that nomination?
I would accept that.
All right, and is there any other nominations? All right, hearing and seeing none, we'll accept that nomination. We'll take a vote. And if that's the case, I would ask, if it passes, I'd ask you to switch seats and we'll move on with the next one. So before we do that, why don't we go ahead and take a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Congratulations, Mr. Norby.
Thank you for serving, Stephen. All swap seats are good for the moment.
Exactly.
Slide over.
We'll do that.
And I will turn the meeting back to you, Mr. Norby, for election of a vice chair for this coming calendar year.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Commissioners, for bestowing this upon me. I would like to nominate Mr. Elliott as vice chairperson. Are there any other nominations? We'll take a vote. All in favor of Commissioner Elliott becoming the vice commissioner, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving along, we'll move to item number 6, the consent calendar. We have approval of the minutes for the meeting from November 17th, 2022.
I want to make one note, if I can, and that is this is the first time we haven't had the AB 3, whatever on there, because that's now effectively the law of the land. So we don't need to do that each month. So if you'll note, that's come off and you won't see that on moving forward.
Any other notes or issues with the minutes from November 17th.
Just appreciate that we did maybe delay this for clarity on the issue of the McDonald's sign. General consent and direction that was provided by the commission seems to be accurate.
And I would add, if I could, that we will bring the, at the December minutes, they will clarify that action. We have contacted them, let them know. We've sent them a formal letter.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I can't tell you what's happened because they haven't contacted me since then, but we've let them know all that you, what you did, and it'll be reflected next month.
So I would move for approval of the minutes of November 17, 2022 as presented.
You have a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the consent calendar passes. We'll move right along to items for discussion 7A. This is a conditional use permit for a digital display monument sign. The sign will be at 129 East Walker Street. Do you have a staff report on this?
We do. Good evening. And I will mention right out the gate that this is a public hearing this evening. So I'll be given the staff report and we'll conduct the public hearing. We have not received any notifications or letters or comments or anything on this matter so far. The item before you is a conditional use permit to or a request for a conditional use permit to permit the establishment of a digital display monument sign at 129 East Walker Street. In commoners language, that's Glen Success Square, out in front, adjacent to Highway 32 or Walker Street. We have with us tonight Shane, and Shane, I know that Ryan's going to join us at some point from the Glen County Office of Education. Ryan isn't here, he's the new superintendent, but Shane's here to answer questions if we have them. The site is obviously a developed site with the offices. I think we all know what's there. We all know the site. It is designated commercial on our general plan, and it's zoned with the C2 or community commercial land use designation. The reason why this item is before you tonight, there are actually a couple of them, but one is because the Glen Success Square has, per our sign code, assigns them a square footage amount for all signs. This sign would be in addition, would take them over their allotted amount. So there would be a increase in the maximum square footage of signs, as well the monument sign that's proposed is a digital sign, and digital signs are to be approved by the Planning Commission. In this particular instance, and I'm going to use very, dare I say, base level descriptions, it's a large TV termed in a portrait orientation. So the sign would be a changing marquee digital sign adjacent to Highway 32. At the Glen Success Square. The reason it's here is because the code allows the Planning Commission to add to allow for additional sign square footage, additional sign height, and to approve digital signs. So there's actually kind of three reasons it's before you this evening. The mechanism that we use in Orland to do this is a conditional use permit. So that's the reason why you're having a public hearing on a conditional use permit this evening. The staff report laid out a little bit of the details, and I won't go into a ton of them other than to say there was a description of parking, and I wanted to make sure we're clear about that. When the sign first came in, staff looked at it, and it would have resulted in the elimination of the one parking stall that it would have been occupying. However, because of the dimensions of the row of parking that it would go into, those stalls are wider than our code requires. So technically there isn't the loss of a stall because they can restripe it and still maintain the gap necessary to put the sign in. So that's paragraphs about parking summarized is they're not going to lose a space. And as we know, public use building is occupied, it can be pretty busy in there. So that was a big consideration of staff. The other big consideration on this item was encroachment into the Caltrans right away. And City Clerk has a photo up on the screen. That's kind of what that, dare I say, large iPhone looking thing would look like when it's up there. The question became encroachment into the Caltrans right away. As I think we all know, Walker Street is also Highway 32, which is owned by Caltrans and maintained. There are discrepancies in the maps that we have about what Caltrans actually owns and controls. And I know that sounds odd, but it happens all over. The common refrain is, oh yeah, the right-of-way ends at the back of the sidewalk. We have one map that shows that that's the case. We also have a right-of-way map that shows that their Caltrans right-of-way extends to the back of the landscaping. I need to tell you, we don't know the answer to that. But what we have done is we've put a condition of approval, and I believe it's number 17, but I probably have it handy and I don't, that basically identified that, it's number 18, that the applicant shall not install the proposed sign in a manner that encroaches into the Caltrans right-of-way. I can't tell you this evening if it's the back of sidewalk or if it's a landscape, because Caltrans hasn't gotten back to me. They seem to be still out on Christmas vacation. But what we know is this is the location that the applicant preferring, which is, dare I say, partially into that zone if it's allowed. Otherwise, it will be entirely behind the curb. So that's the intent of number 18 there. So again, with that, we have Shane with us this evening. If we have questions for him, they have been great to work with, and we appreciate the fact that they've been willing to grind through and be patient with us while we try to figure out the logistics of landscaping and right-of-ways and all of the like of it. We are recommending approval of this item this evening, and that would be on stamp page 11 of your packet. I believe there is a recommendation and the sample motions are laid out. We are also recommending that this item meets the criteria for a CEQA exemption, either under two, there are two ones that are operable here, section 15303, as well as section 15311. And I think those are reflected in your sample motions. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll do my best.
Any questions, specific questions for staff, for the commissioner?
I have that question. Does this require a CEQA exemption and a CUP motion?
Absolutely, yes.
It can be completed as one motion.
We can do it as a motion, as long as when you're reading it, I would always prefer that you read the CEQA exemption first in the order.
Yeah. Yeah, I think CEQA first and then the
conditions. Yeah.
Any other specific questions for staff?
I just have one. If it's a non-digital sign, does it have a different dimension requirement? Or are all signs the same?
Do me a favor and ask the question one more time.
If it's not a digital sign,
does it
have the same dimensions required?
Yes, but the code, we don't have dimensions that are required. We have overall size square footage parameters. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get hung up on the word dimensions, but the dimensions change every time, as long as you work inside the box.
The height and square footage.
Yeah. The digital component and the height of this sign, which is over 8 feet, is the reason why it's before you this evening. But yes.
It's the same if it were on a digital.
It wouldn't matter. It would come before you anyway.
At 5:42, I will open up the public hearing. If anyone has any questions, comments, at this time, please approach the commission, state your name and where you're from. All right, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Any other comments?
If I just have one question for Scott. It's been a while since we discussed a sign for a public school, but when we did discuss it last, the impression that I was given, or my recollection, and maybe things have changed, they were granted this by right. We have several public schools that install reader signs, and they did not go through this process or pay these fees. They were granted by right because they were a public school entity. It seems there were special rules applied.
I would love to just stop at yes, but I think that's disingenuous. So the answer is higher public entities, higher levels of government don't have to generally comply with the regulations of lower levels of government. Having said that, there is findings that have to be made by the governing body of that higher level of government to do so. In this case, the school district wanted to follow the rules. They want to do what's right. They want to come before you. So they could have blown us off and just said, go. They didn't choose to do it.
So this was a voluntary effort on their part to ensure that there's full consent.
Yeah.
But I am correct. Right? Everyone in high school has a reader board, didn't go through the process.
None of the other
Fairview, Mill Street, all of those have reader boards. They didn't go through this process.
No, they didn't.
Okay. So, okay. Well, thank you to Shane. There you are.
Actually, it applies to both of the folks here tonight, correct. But I Shane know. In particular. So, yeah.
So thank you for doing that and certainly allowing that at least our staff to act in the best interest of the city in terms of what they thought was best here and then make recommendations to us. That's all I wanted to make sure I understood that.
Any other questions or comments?
I just have one about just the square footage. Mm-hmm. This is about 1.5 times the allotted requirement. I think visually, I think it looks fine. There's nothing wrong, but I'm just wondering if there's something we need to consider changing the code, if this is always going to become an issue. We seem to have a lot of signage come up lately.
And forgive me for my laughing.
I know.
Because this is, you know, I will tell you, the answer to your question is yes, I think we should.
Yes, me too.
The reality is sign code is one of the most painful things you can ever embark upon as a staff or a commissioner, because so many people are so excited about the topic. And when we did this last time, I looked to Wade and looked to Sharon. Oh, we spent hours.
Yeah.
But they were good hours.
They were.
But I also agree that, yes, I think this is probably something we should look at. And I would tell you, you have given us direction to go back and do a code amendment as it related to the McDonald's situation.
Yeah.
So we are coming back to you in March with that. And I would expect that maybe there's an opportunity to go further.
Yes. Okay. You're bringing that up. I agree with that.
So less of this.
Yeah.
We tried to get it as ministerial as we could, but then there are circumstances that we, you know, you don't see until you see it. And so.
And this is off topic, and I apologize, Chairman, but, you know, the signs have evolved, and they will continue to evolve. Yeah. I mean, when we first engaged our code, digital signs were like an anomaly. They were a thing that didn't hardly happen. Now it's almost a mandatory. I mean, if you go to a sign company and tell them you want a sign, they're going to push you towards a digital side. Every gas station has to have a digital component or a sign pricing component. The digital one can be controlled by the cash register inside the thing, so they all do that. But back when we adopted this, I would tell you that wasn't really the case.
Yeah, they had numbers they have.
Oh, they were still sliding things in there.
Numbers or ladder.
So I think this is a perfect example of the code needing to evolve as society and the engineering attributes of that thing evolve as well.
Yeah. If there's no other comments or questions, there is a sample motion on step page 11.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion. First of all, to move that the Planning Commission approved the project, CUP 2022-10. Is that numbered correctly?
It is.
Okay, and also determine that the proposed action is exempt from further review pursuant to sections 153.03 and 153.11 of the Public Resources Code. And I can continue and make it all one motion. We also would move, in addition, to approve Planning Commission Resolution PC 2022-X&Y, approving the conditional use permit application 2022-10, subject to the conditions of approval provided as attachment C and findings shown on attachment D.
Can I make one friendly clarification? Yes. That it should say PC Resolution 2023.
Yes.
The application was filed in 2022, but because of the year switch, we're going to have the resolution saying 2023-, it'll be probably 01, I'm not sure, but next in line.
Yeah.
But the number of the actual case is still 2022-10.
Yeah.
So
you're, other than just the resolution number being updated, we're good.
Okay, very good.
You have a motion. Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And passes 5-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I just would add, we need to talk about the right of way because I'm still confused. So we'll just let's figure that out between you and I at the next phase.
Next week?
Yeah, that sounds great. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. All right, moving on to item 7B, conditional use permit 2022-11 for a digital pole display sign. Move on to staff.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Best to you with your digital sign and the communication that's going to afford you. Thank you.
So I'll try to spare the commission too much. This is the same exact thing as the last one, yeah, except just a little bit different location and a different sign. So I'll go through this because I think that's proper, but by and large, it's the same fundamentals as the last item. So this is a request for a conditional use permit to permit a digital display pole sign at 1366 Cortina Drive. That's commonly known as New College Glenn County Center.
Yeah.
We are recommending that this also is exempt from California Public Public Resources Code, CEQA as 15311 accessory uses. And again, I could go into all of the details and I'll spare you because they're all in the staff report. The reason why we're here tonight is A, it's a digital display sign. B, it's bigger. C, it's taller. So the same basic parameters as the last conversation. Yes, closer, but in so much as the Speedway gas station has a gas sign that the prices are digital within 300 feet. So the reason why we bring it forward is our code says if a digital sign has to be within 300 feet of another digital sign component, Planning Commission needs to do that. There's probably debatable about the price sign, but it is digital. So we're here tonight because it is closer. So I guess there's a compounding situation. The only real difference, both sites were fully developed. This is fully developed as we know. The project was approved via a use permit because it is in the PD or plan development zone, as you know. There was a conversation about whether or not this would simply be an amendment to the PD or would be a new use permit. We've chosen to advance this as a brand new use permit. They're two independent items. Tonight's action is only about the digital display pole sign, not about any of the other approvals that have been offered to the college before. So again, cutting to the chase here, stamp page 37 has sample motions for this evening. We are recommending the CEQA exemption 15311. We do have members of Duke College staff here this evening if there were questions, and with that, answer questions if you have them. And I believe City Clerk had a picture of that sign up there previously.
Okay. This matter is up for public hearing. I would like to open the public hearing at 5:52. Anyone from Duke College has any comments? Or?
Do that after you close the public hearing.
Yeah. Yep. And we will immediately close the public hearing. At this point, if you guys have anything you'd like to add.
I just wanted to share my appreciation with Scott, who's been very helpful in getting this process through. The district is extremely happy with our location, and we're hoping that this sign will bring future students to our site and positive addition to our campus.
Thank you for being here tonight.
And
like Wade was saying, thanks for coming about this the correct way.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys have been great partners in this whole process.
Just for the record, so we can get it on the.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I'm Kim Jones. I'm the director of
facilities. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, any questions or comments from?
I have one. Yes. Very small, I think. Because the sign is along the freeway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where it says it would be along the eastern boundary, it's actually the western.
Western boundary.
Okay, that's,
yeah. Okay. That's a typo.
All right, but, so but,
nope, you got. Thank you.
That's the only thing that I.
It's a sign.
Not kind of nip, okay.
No, thank you.
So is this sign facing I-5 or is it facing South Street? Is it perpendicular to the freeway?
Perpendicular to the freeway.
Is north south view two sided? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes,
262. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would note that you can see the sign up there. Our code requires that there is a base treatment and a pole treatment to prevent this notion of, dare I say, lollipops. We've used that word a bunch around here, of a tall little stick and then the thing on top of it. So one of the things that our code requires is that there is some sort of base treatment and some sort of a pole treatment. So we do have a condition in here tonight that. So what you're looking at is probably not what the finished product is going to look like because it doesn't have a base treatment. It doesn't have a pole treatment. So we do have a condition requesting a base and a pole treatment.
Again, I'm going to talk about square footage,
mm-hmm.
but I assume that the current code is 100 square feet and they're asking for 262.
Mm-hmm.
So we doubled it because this is on I-5. Is this going to be in the corridor changes anyway? Yes. So
it will be, I mean, I hate to pre crystal ball what's going to be in the code amendment, but yes, within we have a 300 foot freeway influence zone designation in our code, and our recommendation
is yes. Another exemplar for why we're going to have to reconsider amending the code again.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. All right, that's all.
Through the chair, I just have one question. I'm looking on our numbered 42, which shows the sign, and then it calls out some height dimensions. I'm told when I read the text, if I'm reading it right, it says it's 30 feet tall, but it calls it out at 40 feet tall, 480 inches.
It actually uses inches, yeah.
So 480 inches, I think, is 40 feet. Am I correct? Is the sign 30 feet or 40 feet tall?
40 feet tall.
So we're incorrect. And
so our code, this is another point of debate for the future. The pole is technically 30 feet tall and the sign is technically 10 feet tall. So they're making it 40 total feet tall, but the pole is theoretically 30 feet tall. So
do we need to make sure that the description that's used in the staff report reflects that it's 40 feet from ground level to top of the sign?
You're doing that right this second.
That's what I thought. I don't think it's a big issue. I just knew it was different. Yeah. And I was trying to figure out if we had a 30-foot tall sign or a 40-foot tall sign that were approved.
Correct.
Sounds like a 40-foot tall sign.
It is.
Go to the top of the sign for ground. All right. That's all I have.
Anyone else have any questions? There is a sample motion at the stamp page 37.
I'll make a motion regarding the conditional use permit that's been ID'd as 22-11. That the actions are as follows. We're recommending and following recommendations of staff, the Planning Commission approved project CUP 2023 next in line, and determine in so doing that the proposed action is exempt from further review pursuant to section 15311 of the Public Resources Code. Additionally, our approval is that Planning Commission Resolution PC 2023 next in line approves the conditional use permit ID here, subject to the conditions of approval provided as attachment C, as well as findings shown on attachment D, with clarity that this is a 30-foot sign or 40-foot sign from ground to top.
Motion with a second.
Well, is the applicant, I'm sorry, but is the CUP in 2022 and only the resolution is the 2023? Okay, so the CUP 2022-11 is correctly
yes,
identified
yes.
as well as the conditional use permit?
Correct.
Okay, so the only thing that is 2023 is the Planning Commission resolution.
Correct.
PC 2023, yes. Next
one. Yes.
So correct. Thank you. Yes, that would be my intent.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All right, let's take a vote. Anyone, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right. Passes unanimously. Thank you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Yes.
And thank you for choosing to be a part of our community with the new light set.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, moving on to the staff reports.
So I'm going to break this into a couple of things, and I'm going to go off script a wee bit. Development activity report. I do want to just note that we were contacted by the Maverick Corporation. For those of you who've driven by that site, you see the three submarines that are sitting out there. Obviously, the events of the weather of the last few weeks have been difficult to install tanks, but they tell us they would like to get those buried as quickly as possible because the longer they're up top, the longer they're a theft hazard and damage hazard and the like of it. So you might see some tractors out there digging here fairly soon. We also have received multiple inquiries about what we call Orland Park Phase 1. That's also known as the big cement blocks with the finished streets on the east side of town. That is in escrow currently. That was the, dare I say, going to be a D.R. Horton project, and D.R. Horton backed out. It's in escrow by a new entity to purchase. I know nothing about who it is. I don't even know a name or anything. But that's exciting that somebody quickly put it into escrow. So hopefully we'll get some houses out of that kind of soon. We also have delivered proposals to the city manager for distribution to applicants for the Quiet Creek project, which is a subdivision map north of Bryant. If you were M and a half dead ends into Bryant, if you're looking at that field to the north, it's there. And we've also given one for Orland Park Phase 2. They want to resurrect that project, which would be where the cows and the concrete pipes are on the east side of town, south
of
32.
What's the status of Quiet Creek? At this point?
Proposal has been given to the city manager. It needs the CEQA evaluation. So it's been routed. We've received comments. We've given comments to the applicant. They've modified their map. They've divided. It used to be considered to be two phases, 68 units, dare I say, that's south, basically Stony Creek Drive extended.
Right.
And then the quote unquote hole in the back. So they've taken off the hole in the back, the big hole in the ground, the basin, and they're just looking at the 68 units in the front.
Does the developer own that basin?
He does. Yeah.
It's a great part.
It's a terribly complicated situation because the basin's in the flood zone, and the basin has, dare I say, I know you're going to, special plants and animals that shouldn't be in there, that we would like it if it wasn't in there. It's complicating. So in order to make this a much easier, cheaper, faster process, they've decided not to do it. So
anyway. So the 68 units drops to approximately?
No. 68 units is the result.
Without the use of the base.
It was going to be 100.
Single family homes?
Single family residential homes. Yeah.
Non-subsidy at this point?
At this point. I do want to bring your attention to something that I don't have a lot of details on, but I think it's exciting nonetheless, and I want to put it in your brains. And that is the League of California Cities, which the city of Orland is a member of, California League of Cities and Towns, I think what the name is. It holds a series of planning commissioner trainings and workshops. Sharon, you went to that with Doris. Yes. 2 years ago, I believe it was. Whenever we went to Sacramento, it's going to be this year held in Redding and Orville.
Oh,
so dare I say local.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting. And I would love for us to attend.
We need approximate dates or exactly?
I don't. That's the problem. March 8th. No, it's just general planning, how to be a planning commissioner. It'll be an 8-hour deal. It'll be an all day thing. It's free to attend for league members, and we're league members.
Yeah.
As that comes available, I'm going to strongly encourage us to have a participant at that. So it's they say spring, spring, this is me crystal balling, has typically meant like April. So okay. I don't know, but I'm going to guess in the April-ish time. I'm keeping track on it. I'll let you know, but I'm kind of excited. It's in our neck of the woods, and I'd like to have some of us go.
When the last time it poured.
Oh, yeah. Don't jinx us, but yeah, yes, it did. Yeah. Annexation status update. Both of the annexations that we had pending at LAFCO are approved. That would be the west side, south of Pilot, mm-hmm. as well as the Kramer annexation to the south of town. Jerry Kramer annexed that his lot is now in the city. So both of those have been approved by LAFCO. The protest hearings have been held. Everything's done at the state. DWR project update. Project is moving along. In fact, it seems to grow by the day. And I know that Jennifer's rolling her eyes. You just can't tell right now. But it is moving ahead. There's billings and reimbursements and engineering process and RFPs going out and the like of it. So that's still happening, even if it's been quiet for a little bit. And just because it rained doesn't mean that wells are automatically like great and going now. And I think you all know that. But the project's still moving full speed ahead. And then the last.
Has anyone gotten actually hooked up yet?
Yes.
Seven?
No,
six. Six, okay.
They aren't connected just yet on 32.
No, I'm thinking of Stone Creek.
No, only ones Stone that we, phase one is just on the south side of 30 Super Shopper.
It's just
right city, in there. It's just limits. Inside the city. Those are the only six that, and I don't.
No, I have like 30 something within the city.
Yeah, but we haven't gotten them connected yet. Right. They'll come with different phases, I think. So that's moving ahead. The last one is
like Stone Ridge. A long. It'll be
that's in phase three. It might be a long time.
Oh, okay.
We're at the beginning of phase one. They haven't even started the engineering work for that yet.
That is in the scope of the project.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, but at the end of the project, we're trying to.
Cutting it in.
What's that?
Cutting it in. Not that far. Are we going that far out?
No.
No.
Not that far out.
200.
Yeah.
To down. 19.
Just to 19.
To
M
in.
To, yeah, M to 20, okay. Down to K, to
and then
all the way to
K is it
YOLO?
K.
All the way
to 20? Okay.
Then to 20, then K and a half. And then Stony Creek, then there's a.
Then it ties back in little, and then it goes out that way.
But then there's other little, like Road 15 and M and a half, but those are all county. I mean,
so for us, I mean, it's exciting nonetheless, just to expand the customer base and give people water. But there are lines in the city that are being put in. So those are the main ones. There's like crossers and connectors mm-hmm. and whatnot to make the whole system work. And, you know, we're actually looking at a brand new groundwater source well, as well as a supply tank that ultimately you can't just keep hooking people up. You got to add wells and tanks and everything to support the infrastructure to get them all there. So there is on West Walker, at the end of West Walker, we're looking at a new well source well.
Yeah.
We're looking at a ground tank right at the corner here of 6th and Calusa. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're at right now for tank and well.
We just got the driller that was just approved.
Right. So they're doing, the test well, I think, mm-hmm. to bear out waters.
6th and Calusa, fire department.
Behind, by Bucky's.
Yeah, the other
side. Across
the other side of the road. On the river. This is a large above ground storage.
Mm-hmm.
Visible from
the car. It's on the ground.
It's on the ground. Is this visible from 99W?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right.
Oh gosh,
on
it's like on 99W.
It's right there by Bucky's. Like
40 feet tall and 70 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's like a million feet. That is storage. Is that correct?
That's right. So back in the old days, not that we're veering way off track, but you'd use that big silver thing that was lifted way up high to give you some gravity push. We don't have to really do that anymore as much because wells and pumps have gotten better. So we can put them on the ground now and then they don't have to be way up high and a big liability risk for everybody. So there is a tank, it's about 1 million gallons. It'll be huge. And it's right there at the corner where the cars are parked for the garage and that gravel lot there across from kind of diagonal from the hive. the well that's adding the additional capacity is in the well driller has been approved. And I don't know where that's going to go, but has been approved. And we'll see if there's water there. And if there's water, we'll get a new well connected to our system as part of this overall.
So I appreciate you sharing that with us. It sounds to me like at some point, I don't know if there's any role for planning in this. No, I didn't think so.
Not really.
So it'd just be for our information. But one thing, a storage tank of that size in that location, it's not an attractive sign up on top that says Orla with a light on it that you can make Christmas colors. It's a great big piece of metal. Is there plans for perimeter landscaping or things to kind of include?
I don't even think we've got plans for anything. Yeah, I think we just, the city purchased that property.
Is that city council that would be involved in that?
Oh, 100%.
Our engineer, okay.
Well, the engineer and the public works director are the staff liaisons for the action, has to be approved by the city council.
Okay, and so maybe if we had any concerns or other citizens that we talked to city council about the appearance of that large of a storage tank. It's a great idea. We need a large storage tank. I just guess I was always hoping it would be somewhere less visible than 99W. Where if anything, we want to tear all that down and make it nice and new.
I think because that's where our safety facility is supposed to go. They were wanting it to be all one. Some they are fire and police.
Okay, and there may be a strategy and a way to make it very, where it looks like it fits. Yeah, where it may look like, but I don't want a big mural on there and say, well, call it good. On the side of the tank, I've seen that. I don't think it helps. I think it actually draws your eye worse. But I've seen when they fence a landscape sometimes.
I would landscape trees. Invite you to talk to the city manager about that. There really isn't. And part of the reason I bring it up is more is informational, because you will not be involved in that conversation.
Thank you.
And then the last one, city council commissions and committee appointments. Obviously, we have a new commissioner. Thank you for being here this evening. We look forward to the next future. Our council person liaison is Jeff Tolley, Councilman Tolley.
Okay.
I think he's been in the hospital, so he's not here tonight because
he's home.
I don't think he's mobile quite yet. So, yeah. So Councilman Tolley, and I can't speak for him. So I don't know his attendance and whatnot, but he's our liaison.
Sure. Jennifer, did all the commissions fill all their seats?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last item, which is not necessarily on here, but it's in the overall department staff report, is every year at the beginning of each new calendar year after we do our elections of officers, I always invite the planning commission to help set the agenda for the year for the planning department. In particular, noting that if there are particular things you want trainings on, or particular subject matters of interest to you, or requests for meetings on certain topics, I would love to invite you to not only offer them tonight if you have them, but to think about that. One of the things, and the best example that I can think of that came out of this was a number of years ago, we did a whole host of zoning code text amendments because the commission was very interested in making sure that our code was going to be responsive to what we felt was going to be growing residential pressures. So we did a lot of code amendments in one particular year. I guess the other one was we've had special trainings. I was looking at Commissioner Lazorco, and maybe this was, now that I think about it, more than 4 years. It's 4, 5, 6. I don't know. Yeah, it was a long time ago. We did some internal trainings on Subdivision Map Act.
Yeah.
We did some internal trainings on what does our zoning code really say? We did some internal trainings on variances. Why do you do them? What are the findings? What's going on with it? To help the commission understand its role, what our code says. Why does it say that? There were things that we came up with, like, I don't know why it says that. That was here from well before my time. Well, that's it. It's changing. Okay, let's do it. So this is the time in the year where you offer your suggestions to staff. We take it back to the administration to say, here's what the planning commission would like to do. So I invite all of you to think about that, offer it to us, help start the dialogue, whether or not it's tonight or in the future, of things you would like to see us do. So with that, I'm offering to you to provide us direction. See where it goes.
off the top of their head, does anyone have any ideas or anything that to take this guy?
Yeah, if I could, Stephen, we did have a joint meeting. We involved two commissions and members of the city council. There were clearly notes taken at that meeting. There's been, at least with our involvement, no follow-up formal. It would seem that one of the places we could start is review those notes, maybe get a staff report of what was discussed, what was suggested, where it came from, whether it was economic development or it was planning or it came from the city council members present, because we had significant numbers of all three. And maybe there's an item or two that in 2023 we would spend some time on. And I do remember a couple of things that came up by more than one of the groups that was there. That might be a good place to start. And maybe we could do that literally at the February meeting, get a report on that.
Sure.
And then see if we need to take specific planning commitment. My thought is not to have a bunch more joint meetings, but literally identify those areas where it would be appropriate for the planning commission to take point. An initiative that might affect something like a zoning. A general plan for housing.
Yep. I can bring that back to you in February. And we don't have to, I mean, I'm hitting you cold. I'm not expecting you to like tell me all your stuff tonight.
This is just me, though, but I'd like to discuss more the design standards, whether it's streetscape or housing design standards. I know you don't. Just basic design standards.
What do you know? What did you just say?
I know you don't like to talk signage, but just design standards for signage or streetscape or housing or, you know.
The more we talk about the signage, the less we have to make anybody else run. Make anybody else jump through hoops. The easier we make it, the more to find.
It's better than it was, and it could be better. Yeah.
So it's an evolutionary process, and I hate to say this, but it's something we're going to talk about for a lot of years.
Yeah,
and well beyond all of us.
You get things finally done, and then there's a whole new technology.
Right.
There's
that's right.
A whole new something that's not even on the books at all. Like nobody's even thought of it.
So, if so noted, and if you think of more, by all means, please approach us, and we'll see what we can do.
Moving on to item 9, commission reports. Commissioner Zorka, you have any?
Anything? Maybe you noticed that maybe you know some people that mentioned something to you and asked about it, or you've noticed something in town that's like you think could be an issue or something like that.
Sometimes an affirmation that something is being done.
We approve that's being done.
If you've attended meetings or you heard a hearing, you can, hey, I went to a hearing that the county was doing X, Y, and Z, or, was at the Women's Improvement Club and they said this and that.
Okay.
Anything from you, Vern?
I don't know if it's appropriate to bring up right now under this heading. I have a million questions. Glenn County's redoing its general plan. Has the commission looked at the county, the proposed general plan? Has that come to the plan? I mean, I'm not up to speed with a lot of this stuff, so I have that down. It does. Because I was on GCAP, and so I just wondered if it's gotten to as far as the city has the planning commission or the council seem to know. So that's still hanging.
Oh, you're gonna start my fire here. This one will get me going.
It should have been
here a year ago, and it wasn't. Really, and they never did.
I'm just curious about where that's at. Looking at some of the minutes, it looks like there's been some discussion on SB9, SB10, ADUs, some of that kind of stuff. Again, I'm not speaking where have we. I think we're in the process of creating some codes. I was looking online, and some cities have created codes regarding school fees.
We have codes. They're just, I don't know if they're on.
But have they taken that into consideration? We have impact fees and stuff, but all that kind of stuff.
So I would invite you to come in and let's talk about it. This is probably another conversation, but we do have codes for ADUs. We have handouts at the counter. We follow all the state laws on SD, whatever you name the number. The city doesn't update. It's my understanding that the city pays a company to update our online stuff, and it's not always immediately updated. It's some amount of months behind. We have those. I concur that they're not up, and I actually just spoke with the administrative services director today about that. Hey, we're behind pretty far right now. We should probably get them going, but we have to pay every time they update our online web page. And so what they do is they build up a chunk before they make that payment. I'm suggesting that we please proceed.
Okay. So I was just curious about where we are on that as far as meeting up to speed.
If I could, the gist of it is SB 9 took away discretionary power for municipalities.
Right.
And it was in the theory, at least, or the intent stated that it would spur the expansion of affordable housing by incentivizing or simplifying private development of things like junior ADUs and ADUs. Right. Even went further and said, now you could subdivide lots as small as 1,200 square feet, thinking that that might also add value to property and incentivize building out smaller lots. I read an article today that says we're now less than 300 active permits for subdividing lots. Now, if you think how large California is, that less than 300 applications statewide.
Right.
And what the article was largely arguing is that nothing's really significantly happening. I'm sure there are ADU conversions, which were already permissible through process.
Right.
Pretty much anyway, they were by right and permissible, but they had a little bit of standards in review. Now there's just fewer, there's less of that, correct? So I think where we ended up is we made sure we were compliant with what the law required us to do, not to interfere and create a situation where the city could be accused of violating state law. But in reality, we didn't do anything to promote it, advance it, or even educate. Because in fact, we think there may be very, very little local impact in terms of people actually doing this, other than who might have already done ADUs.
I think a lot of that is just the economy, just in general, the price of materials, like nobody's really moving much.
Conversions and remodels are funded by equity in homes, and when costs of borrowing money against your equity go up, like they've done so dramatically. It certainly will make people pause. It's not like nobody's going to remodel a kitchen right now. Mm-hmm. But I bet some kitchens that were scheduled to be remodeled are on hold.
Right.
And certainly ADUs are much more expensive endeavor than remodeling a bathroom or kitchen. We already know that we're seeing impacts on the home stores, the big box stores, the Home Depots and the Lowe's already putting out concern that their business is slowing down because they thrive on equity-driven projects. So I think we can speculate, but I think right now it's a good topic. That's why we talked about it. It came up so many times. We wanted to really understand it. And when it was all done, what we understood is state didn't ask. They were telling.
Right.
And all we have to do is not get in the way.
Right.
And we won't. I mean, we won't. Somebody's got room on their lot to build a mother-in-law unit.
Right. I was just reading about it. It's basically saying you split lots. So if you took a 6,000 square foot lot, split it to 3,000 square feet, and then you build two units on each lot.
You could, four units.
You're getting pretty dense.
And the state says that's okay.
Right, but again, in the general plan, you know, back to design standards, two parking spaces covered, two parking spaces uncovered, et cetera, becomes impossible. So do we have to amend our standards?
We're prohibited by law from looking at
parking. Not even permissible.
We're going to have parking issues. If that actually happened, we'd have parking issues.
So all you have to do is go to San Jose, right? And other cities like it, and they already have it, right? You can go to a lot of the Bay Area cities on the peninsula. They already have this. They have these narrow substandard width streets. You got people parking on the lawn, literally. The state of California said housing crisis is so serious, they don't care. I think that's fair. Maybe that's a little bit of an opinion, but they don't care. They really don't care if you park on the lawn. And they certainly are telling us We can't require a garage. You can't require two off-street parking spaces or even one. So the only thing we really can do.
That's for the ADUs, right?
Yes, yeah. Or even a split, even a new home. To be fair, you can build a brand new house today, you don't have to have a garage. And our design says you have to submit for it, but in truth, if they said we're not gonna do it, there's some protections for that. Or to be fair, they could come back the day after they got there. So the only thing we really talked about, look, if we already know that they can come in the day after you give them a certificate of occupancy and say, here's my ministerial must be approved application to convert my garage to living space. Why not be open to the idea of the aesthetics of it all, if that's what they're going to do, and say, okay, what's this look like from day one? And that's happened in town, and it will probably continue to happen.
It's almost all the architects are designing garages to be unit. They're almost.
So you add plumbing just because it'll save money later if you put plumbing in there. Even if they never use it, at least it's there. It's under the slab like waste. And
probably electrical because of these
HVAC
cars,
that's required now.
That's the only thing they require to park.
I mean, we just park it. West Haven just put permits on three homes and they're in the process. We're not even going to put gas to those homes because that's not going to run natural gas to homes.
Yeah,
because that's the direction we're going. Within 3 to 5 years, you won't run natural gas to your
natural gas.
So. You're going to be all electric. You're
taking away your stoves and your furnace?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. You can still run gas right now, but it is definitely going to be the trending right now is any of the fossil fuels to the homes that I have. Anyway, I know we're way off on this, but I met with a solar guy who does the solar, and he started kind of spinning it a certain way. I said, time out. What's happened is all the incentives for building a solar that would offset cost is taken away because the language of equity is now being used with the solar standards. And so starting April 13th, the buyback rate is about a quarter of what it is now. Which means unless you can build that system much larger, and the real truth is what he finally told me is they want you to put batteries in. They want you to create on-site storage. They don't want you to put, they don't want you to put 40 kW because 10 won't do it anymore. They just want you to put batteries.
They want to tap. It's worse than that.
They want to tap your battery in your garage for the grid. You are a grid connect. Your application is to be a producer. And to be a producer, you have to agree to be a part of the grid. To be a part of the grid is to agree to whatever the grid decides, including the ability, no doubt, to backfeed during high demand. So they'll backfeed your power. I'm not saying they'll take it for nothing, but they may take it for next to nothing.
Yeah.
At 8 cents, right?
Because it's eight.
Yeah, or less. So anyway, long story short. Those are good things that we caught in the minutes because they were worth talking about.
I don't know how much discussion there's been prior.
Good that you're asking.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I was thinking about is just the whole west side. Again, it's county property for the most part. And so is there, again, probably some like,
Lots of conversations come on
so
in.
So LAFCO was engaged. There's already approved some annexation going south on the west side, right? Just had that report tonight. I don't think that's the end of it. I think it should probably continue down to South Street, I would expect, at least, and maybe even out to the west.
There was a big discussion at the city council meeting two or three meetings ago regarding whether or not to annex that.
Our natural growth corridors are west and east. I mean, that's really where our natural growth is. Maybe to an extent south. We can't really grow as easily to the north because we have a creek there. We've got issues and stakeholders controlling that. A little bit to the south, but not as easy as probably east and west, which you were here when east was only looking to the east.
Yeah.
And we still are. I mean, that's where D.R. Horton is in their very small footprint now, but I keep waiting to see a sold sign on one of them.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. No. I actually talked to one person, a couple that went out there looking. So they were looking, but I don't know. That. I think probably what happens is somebody ran the numbers with the current interest rates. It's a shocker to find out that the $400,000 house you want, you can afford a $250,000 house compared to just 3 years ago. I mean, those are how big the jumps are. We ran the numbers a couple of ways, and it's significant. It's a third more almost. In some cases, depending on what kind of rate you can get. It's tough.
All right. Anything else to report? I think we've kind of gone over the future agenda items. So unless there's anything else at 6:29, I will call the meeting adjourned.
I like the new commission. We did that less than 60 minutes. Good job, Mr. Chairman. That's a good number. And we actually did some things too.
Yeah.
Took care of a couple of good
made a couple of parties happy. Yeah.